November, the 11th month of the year in the Gregorian calendar. The land becomes bleaker, harsher, but no less beautiful in verse. For our poets, including Herman Melville, Thomas Hood, and William Wordsworth, there is much to observe, write, and comment on. Among our readers are Richard Midgley and Gisela Rowe.
A November Note by Alfred Austin. Why, Throstle, do you sing in this November haze? Singing for what? For whom? Deem you that it is spring, or that your lonely lays will stave off winter's gloom? Then did the bird reply, I sing because I know that spring will surely come. That is the reason why, though menaced by the snow, even now I am not dumb. But few are they that hear, and fewer still that feel the meaning of my song, until the note be clear, re-echoed by the peal, early and late and long. But you have heard and own the sound of my refrain, yet tentative and low. Thus, poet, be intoned your own foreshadowing strain, trusting that some will know. That some will know and say, when greetings of the spring wake winter from its bed, this is the self-same lay we overheard him sing when dead hearts deemed him dead. The Going of the Battery, Wives' Lament, November the 2nd, 1899, by Thomas Hardy. Oh, it was sad enough, weak enough, mad enough, light in their loving as soldiers can be, first to risk choosing them, leave alone losing them, now in far battle beyond the South Sea. Rain came down drenchingly, but we unblenchingly trudged on beside them through murk and through mire, they stepping steadily, only too readily, scarce as if stepping brought parting time nigher. Great guns were gleaming there, living things seeming there, cloaked in their tarcloths, upmouthed to the night, wheels wet and yellow from axle to fellow, throats blank of sound but prophetic to sight. Gas glimmers drearily, blearily, eerily lit our pale faces outstretched for one kiss. While we stood pressed to them, with a last quest to them, not to court perils that honour could miss. Sharp were those sighs of ours, blinded these eyes of ours, when at last moved away under the arch all we loved. Aid for them, each woman prayed for them, treading back slowly the track of their march. Someone said, Nevermore will they come, evermore are they now lost to us. Oh, it was wrong. Though may be hard their ways, some hand will guard their ways, bear them through safely in brief time or long. Yet voices haunting us, daunting us, taunting us, hint in the night time when life beats a low, other and graver things. Hold we to braver things, wait we in trust what time's fullness shall show.
November Findings, November, 1862, by Janet Hamilton. Thou frigid tyrant, dark and stern November, we shrink before thee, and shall long remember thy levin fires, untimely thunder volleys, that in dread tones rebuked our crimes and follies. Thy scowling eyes through veiling cloud are glaring on the pale face of nature rudely bearing, her shivering form her leafy garments strewing, or field and wood discoloured heaps of ruin. Earth's blasted treasures shrunken, blackened lie on many a field beneath thy cruel eye. Red graveyards swell o'er many little heaps, her buried treasures the pale mother weeps. The factory wheels too oft the wheels of life, stand still and pining wants and woes are rife. On the cold hearth and by the naked bed, gaunt misery cowering sits half warmed, half fed. Friend Jonathan is just as fierce and spiteful. The braggadocio would be quite delightful. But loss of blood and jaundiced bile, poor fellow, have made him giddy and all objects yellow. Thou drear November, in thy reign we saw a press-blown clamour overcrow the law, a secret conclave trample just